See, I was doing that so beautifully, and then I screwed up. The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 424, recorded on May 9th, 2016. Welcome to the 424th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 257th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falcon.
I am TJ Denzer.
And I am Scott Durf.
VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. So, I assume you guys went to see Captain America: Civil War, right?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet.
Really? Okay. The only problem I had, well, it's a problem with all the MCU movies now, is that it was dry as a bland piece of toast. It was, I don't want to say boring, but it wasn't the first Avengers movie, it wasn't even the second Avengers movie, let alone the first. And the problem I had is that both of you read the comic Civil War, right?
Right.
I didn't, but I mean, I know enough about it. See, the thing about Civil War was that it had the Civil War, the Superhero Registration Act, and it's because a couple of heroes blew up a playground full of 300 children. Nothing like that happens in the film, fortunately. I don't know, that would be going a little bit too dark for the film.
I don't think Scarlet did.
Yeah, no. Scarlet Witch blew up a few people in a big high rise. Didn't Loki kill more than that?
It's a big deal to the people whose those families were. And
well, what about in the first Avengers film? You think nobody died in that?
That's why they brought it up in the movie.
Why didn't they bring it up earlier?
You've been doing.
Why didn't they bring it up earlier from the first Avengers movie? Anyways, that aside. The thing is that the pro register here. It isn't pro registration. See, the thing is that in the movie, they don't want superheroes to register. They just want to be given UN resolutions. And by the way, the UN doesn't work like that, and no one pays attention to them like that. That's not how the UN works. But going by movie logic, you know, the UN wants resolutions. They want to be able to tell superheroes, okay, you can go fight it, which is the stupidest thing ever. That makes absolutely no sense. However, the pro-registration side, and it's not, I can't even call it the pro-registration side because it's not the comic book. The pro-UN side says, you know, superheroes are dangerous. People die, and it's true. And the other side is what? Nothing. They don't have an argument. All they have is Captain America wants to prove that Bucky was innocent. You know,
is that in the movie or in the comic book?
In the movie.
I know why they
in the comic books, it's a lot different. Because bad things can happen when... You see, in the Superhero Registration Act, they say all superheroes must reveal their secret identities. Which is a bigger problem. Especially for Peter Parker.
Captain America's argument was freedom of choice. He didn't want his choice to be taken away from him and him told what to do, where to go. We have
regulation of everything. It's not a matter of choice. All you have to do is go to UN. Here, he's innocent. Let me prove it. Thank you. What happens if a gigantic monster appears? Are they going to go to the UN and can we fight the monster now? I mean, the Powerpuff Girls movie made more sense.
It didn't make it very clear, but I don't think they actually had to go in front of the council. What I remember when they were talking about that fight Captain America was having, it's like, oh, if you sign it, then yesterday is legit. So it's like...
That makes no sense, though.
There's some red tape that we're just not seeing, some other process, but the movie didn't explain.
See, the problem is they couldn't do the comic book Civil War, so there's plot holes induced by that. For example... In the comic Civil War, Peter Parker revealed his identity, which led to an assassination attempt by the Kingpin, which killed shot Aunt May, which of course led to one more day. So there's a point against that. So the thing is that the fact that they're not doing it from the comics makes it awkward. You know, they rushed into Civil War. There should have been something else. There should have been Avengers. By the way, why is it called Captain America Civil War anyway? Iron Man appears more in the movie than Captain America does. Should have been the Avengers Civil War.
I mean, it's still ostensibly a Captain America film from what I've heard. Yeah, like, but there's a lot of Avengers going on, but, yeah, but it's still mostly Caps.
Yeah, it's Captain's struggle. It's not really the Avengers' struggle.
Yeah, but he appears less than anybody else on the screen. See,
I wasn't keeping track of how much time he was on screen. I thought he was in there just...
I thought it would have been more accurate to call Iron Man Civil War. He had more to do with the film than Captain did.
I mean, Darth Vader's in the original Star Wars trilogy for like 21 minutes, but we still can't give a hell of a lot of a care about him.
And then there's too much Darth Vader in the prequel, so there's your lesson, kids.
Quality over quantity.
Anyways, I'm not saying it's a bad film, but I'm not saying it's a good film either. It's just a film.
From what I heard, and I haven't seen it, but I've heard it described as, like, if they didn't call it Captain America, if they straight up called it Avengers 2 and Age of Ultron never happened, people would be okay with that.
Really? I don't know. Are people turning on Age of Ultron that quickly now?
I've never known to have not turned on it. I've always heard that Age of Ultron sucked.
I know, but I'm just saying, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about in general. Are they souring on Age of Ultron? Because at least Age of Ultron made a little bit of sense. I mean, it wasn't Ant-Man who created Ultron, but, okay, let me ask you a question. How did you feel about Spider-Man in the movie?
I was fine with it.
See, the thing is, they have to get him really young. Because everybody in that film series is aging. I mean, who knows how long Tony Stark is going to be around. I mean, Robert Downey is going to be around for that before they're forced to reboot it again. you'd have... Because did you see how old Don Cheadle looked?
Yeah.
He looked like he was in his 70s.
He is supposed to be an older guy. I mean, it made sense.
Isn't he supposed to be a War Machine?
I don't know what age War Machine is supposed to be, but...
He's about the same age as Tony Stark is supposed to be. Well, Tony Stark does look ancient in this, too. Not as old as Harrison Ford, but still.
Well, I mean, yeah, Robert Downey does look good, I think, for his age and considering his drug abuse. But they did a really good job with the CGI at one point, showing a very much younger version of himself.
Yeah, they do that. They did that with Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator Genesis. I think here's what I think is going to happen, though. It's going to be forgotten when X-Men Apocalypse comes out, because that seems like a more interesting film.
Well, I'm looking forward to Doctor Strange, personally.
Okay. Well, that's like, I'm looking forward to the new Aquaman movie, or the new Wonder Woman movie. I don't know. Doctor Strange...
Well, I like Doctor Strange.
I know. And what's it called? That means if it's bad, you'll hate it even worse.
You know, Doctor Strange is in a precarious position. Like, it's in kind of the position that Guardians of the Galaxy was in.
Yeah.
Because the grand mass majority of moviegoers probably have no idea who Doctor Strange is.
I don't think so. I think people know who Doctor Strange is. But the problem, what's going to happen?
Comic book fans know.
Yeah,
who
I'm just going to say
it's really niche.
I'm going to say this though. The two parter for the Infinity War. Yeah. The thing is that there's also a tonal shift. And they're forced to do that, especially with Infinity War. I don't know how they're going to make... They're going to have to severely change the story of Infinity War, because Infinity War is depressing.
Yeah.
And...
Doesn't Thanos kill everybody?
Yes.
Yep.
He kills everybody.
A handful of people are left.
Yeah, I'm going to wonder how that's going to fly, especially after Batman v Superman. See, that's the problem. I mean, here's the thing. You can have dark, but you also have to make it fun. I mean, people, the Dark Knight, the first one, the second one, actually, was Batman Beyond, because the Batman Beyond was boring beyond belief. I mean, Batman Begins was boring beyond belief. I slept through that. The Dark Knight was really, really dark, but at least it had some fun elements in it. You know, it was sort of bouncy. Unlike, say, The Watchmen, which was garbage. You can't leave Zack Snyder alone with anything, or else he'll make Sucker Punch.
I guess I just liked... I mean, it was nice to have, for once, a villain, like we were talking about, like, several episodes that wasn't some super uber powerful thing. It was just like a normal guy.
Yeah, but the thing in the comic books, he wasn't a normal guy. It was Count Zima.
Yeah, I heard
Zemo,
about that.
Zemo. What was it? Zemo or Zemo? Zemo is the clear beer.
I was fine with what they had done. I thought.
Yeah, but that made no sense. But we're not going to go into plot holes.
It made plenty of sense.
No.
The guy was going out for revenge, and he wanted to tear up the Avengers, so he did. How does that not make sense to you?
I'm not going to get into it because it'll be a long discussion, and this isn't the comic book podcast.
Also, again,
you're the one that brought
yet.
This discussion up.
Yeah, I mean, we can't. That's another thing. We can't do spoilers. So, I mean, oh, did you know Spider-Man is in the movie? Spoiler.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
That's my point, though. You know, they were so desperate to get people into the thing, they had to spoil the reveal that Spider-Man's going to be in the movie. You know,
Spider-Man is the Hulkbuster.
You know, I mean, everybody knew Ant-Man was going to be in it, right? So, I mean, Infinity War.
Sure, Mr. Tomei, though.
Infinity War, you know that Guardians of the Galaxy are going to be in it because Thanos is dealing with them too.
Yep.
That's going to be crazy because if they're not going to go the Robbie Baldwin route and have Speedball blow up 600 people, then they're probably not going to have Thanos kill millions.
Well, I mean, you could have it like in Star Trek Generations when the planet blows up. You know, you really don't see it's abstract. You know, it's not like
That whole Yoda 1,000.
Yeah. Hey, look, they're all Disney. Yoda can be in Infinity War too, and he can say, and Ben Kenobi can be there, and he can say he's felt the what's it called, a million superheroes cry out, and then we're suddenly silenced.
Oh no.
Who's going to play Lady Death?
We're going to have a Disney crossover.
I was thinking Infinity War was going to be the first movie Thanos collects all the stones. He gets them from...
No,
their...
it's two parts. It's going to be the entire thing. So the collecting is going to be in the first movie.
Yeah.
And the destruction of everything is going to be in the second movie.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So I'm just thinking, who's going to play Lady Death? Let's have a porn star player.
So although, on the other hand, if everyone dies, then you really can reboot everything.
Yeah, no, but you see, in the promise, they weren't rebooted like it was Marvel Ultimates. Oh, God, can you imagine a Marvel Ultimates movie? Yeah, let's do Ultimatum as a movie. And we slow down on the blob eating the wasp, saying she tastes like chicken. It happened in the comic book. I didn't make that crap up, okay? And oh, yeah, and Wanda and Pietro are lovers having sex. And remember, they're brother and sister. That's fun movie. We have to get John Waters to direct that movie. Actually, you know, Red Letter Media brought something up. You know the movie they should be doing, but they're not? Is they should be doing Planet Hulk.
Dude, that would be so awesome, but I don't think that they're going to jump into that anytime soon.
It could be a two-parter. I mean, he goes there, and then his invasion when he comes back. The thing is, you have to start Hulk talking, and Hulk doesn't talk in these cinematic movies. I mean, you could actually have him start to talk as he starts to...
Hulk.
Because Hulk Smash hasn't been in the comics for a very long time.
You can do anything if you want to.
I guess. I mean, maybe Bruce... Oh, here's the thing. Bruce has found a way with injection or whatever to start having the Hulk be more intelligent. But
that's
Iron Man doesn't give a crap, and Iron Man banishes him from the Earth, which is what happens in the comic, and then he does Hulk War. And then he comes back to beat the ever-living crap out of Robert Downey Jr. Not Iron Man, but Robert Downey Jr.
What do you got against Robert Downey Jr.?
Nothing. He's just a fruitcake who deserves to get smacked around a bit.
Well, that's not very nice.
Yeah, that's precisely it. It's not very nice. I'm not a nice person. I don't care. It's not going to happen anyway. But, you know, Iron Man is such a dick that he has to get his comeuppance at some point. And not Robert Downey Jr., but Iron Man. He's a complete prick in these movies now. You know what they need? They need jokey Iron Man back.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Anyways, what have you been playing, Scott?
I've been playing Fallout 4 again. I'm getting ready for the Fallout Harbor that's coming out. And
yep.
There was a few, I guess, skills I wanted to get, like the Water Boy, Water Girl skill. That way you don't take radiation from water, because it looks like it's going to be a lot of water in that expansion.
Well, you know what's the great thing is that it's the easiest thing in the world. Just get one of those rad suits, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I want to do it. Without, you know.
You don't want to do it with a rad suit?
Well, because I want to be able to swim, and you can't really with all that stuff on.
See, Okay. I mean, I haven't even tried to swim in that thing. I didn't, you know. But I guess you're right. Just get all those Radaways or no?
Yeah,
Radaway. No, Radex is the one that gets rid of it. Radex is the one that protects you against it. Radaway is the one that gets rid of the radiation that you've absorbed.
Yeah,
right?
I'm like level 68 now.
Yeah. And then you're forced to watch the movie Rad.
And then it takes away all your rad until the 90s kids say you're uncool.
it takes away all your soul until the 90s are over. But yeah, anything else?
A little bit of Ori and the Blind Forest. They came out with a definitive edition, and that's a really fun game.
For which platformer is you talking about? Please,
platformer.
I know. I'm saying which platform, PlayStation or?
The computer.
Oh, okay, right. Because that's been around. I think they were giving it away on Xbox One. I know they're giving away a game I already own, which is Sunset. Shit, I can't believe I forgot the name.
Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah, so it's free for Gold members right now.
Cool.
Gold members, yeah.
Oh, there's also a great. Oh, you know. Darn it! You know what I missed? I missed getting the Castle Crashers for free. I should have gotten that for free. I forgot all about it.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the thing: I've never played it. I've only played the demo once. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! It's a great brawler.
I know. I know. And at some point, I'm gonna have to play it. And since it's now available on Xbox One, you know. But the other one is a backwards compatible 360 game, and I'm trying to remember what it is that's Xbox Live Gold this week. I forgot. Not Defense Grid 2, although it is free. Oh. Oh, no. It's Grid 2 is free? Really? Huh. But there's another game that's an XBLA game that's free, and I forgot what it is. I'll just put in Sunset Overdrive because it's basically listing the same thing with it. Dead Space is free. But that's not the game I'm thinking of. Oh, shit. The Wolf Among Us. I mean, I played that. Oh, no. For the entirety of April. Damn it. Oh, well. but there's an Xbox 360 Gold game. I forgot what it is. And, you know... So, anyways, what have you been playing, DJ?
The Overwatch Open Beta has been going on, and I've been playing the hell out of that.
Oh, yeah, I know. I see all my friends playing the beta on my Xbox Live account. I see them.
Oh,
all
dear God, it's so fun. It's Team Fortress, but Blizzard-flavored, and it's delicious.
The problem with Team Fortress is it's so imbalanced.
This one is actually pretty well balanced.
Oh, I know, that's what I'm saying, though. That's the stark difference between the two right now. Because right now, you know, what's it called? I mean, I bought Team Fortress 2 when it first came out, and it was fun to play, and then all these items just imbalanced the entire thing. It's like, why? Yeah, but everybody's playing the open beta.
Yep, it's really fun. Like, people will complain, like, oh my gosh, Bastion is so ridiculous because you can turn into a turret and shoot at distance. Well, then be Widowmaker and pop him with a headshot at distance. there is an answer for every problem in that game, and I love it.
For Battleborn, or... Are you talking about Battleborn?
No, Overwatch.
Oh, Overwatch. I mean, sorry. oh, yeah, it is Defense Grid, too. And I already own that, though. I will say, you know, Defense Grid is a really good game. Is really good. It's one of the best tower defense games that are out there. But I missed The Wolf Among Us. Even though I've played it over and over again, I don't mind. I want to get the achievements because I only have it on PC.
I also finished my 36-hour-long speedrun of Dark Souls 3.
Okay. You know, you should really take the time to explore. I mean, I told you, I'm not a fan of speedruns.
Yeah.
What did you do?
It was good. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't good. I hate the story in Dark Souls games, but it was good.
Did you see Yahtzee's review?
What's that? No, I didn't.
See, the thing is, Yahtzee is huge, huge, huge Dead Space. Dead Space. Dark Souls fan, right? So, all he talked about were the nitpicky things that, you know, that Dark Souls fans are frustrated with Dark Souls 3. For example, he preferred the map layouts in Dark Souls 2, and that he really didn't like Dark Souls 3 being a carbon copy of Dark Souls 1 in terms of the layout. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's I guess that's your mileage may vary, you know, from fan to fan. I mean, maybe they wanted to. He did like the fact that, unlike Dark Souls 2, in which everything was just a soldier in armor, he got bored with that, so when he, and you probably know this part, you know, what's it called, he attacks this soldier in armor, and all of a sudden, he starts sprouting tentacles, all of a sudden. So, oh, he's not actually a soldier, he's one of those things, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because he said that Dark Souls 2 got bored with just fighting guy in armor, guy in armor, guy in armor, guy in armor, guy in armor. He wanted the more fantastical parts.
Yeah, there's a part where you fight demon satyrs that have Medusas coming out of their face, and that's the thing that happens, and that's pretty cool. Like, there's a lot of creatures in that game that are both amazing, fantastical, and disgusting.
Yeah. So as you've completed it, are you going to actually give a final assessment? I know you reviewed it. Are you going to do a second review, or just say, oh, yeah, it's okay?
No, I would say that my review stands. It's a very proficient game, and where I come from with Dark Souls 3 is that you might not like it as much as other games if you're like a fan of the whole series and you've been following it from the beginning, but as far as a game in of itself, it's absolutely awesome and a good way of putting everything together to put a ribbon on it. I just wish that From Software
was better. Honestly, think that's going to be the last Dark Souls game, really?
Well, I mean, I'm taking it at face value for now.
Well, they'll make another game, but they're not going to call it Dark Souls like they did with Bloodborne and Demon. Oh, you know, maybe they'll make Demon Souls 2.
They'll make another game with like a random E on the end of it.
Dark Souls.
Dark Souls with an E. But
no, they're gonna make a David Soul game, which would be even worse.
The only thing I would say that upsets me about Dark Souls and Bloodborne and all those games is the writing. I know they're very lore-rich and very cool, and there's a lot of
good
energy.
But the lore is stupid.
It's not that the lore is stupid, it's that the story has already happened, and you're just picking up the scraps.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got it confused with Metal Gear Solid. I'm sorry. The lore is super stupid in that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like I said, it's not the fact that the lore is stupid, it's very rich.
The story was already told, and now you're picking up the pieces, I get it. You know what's going to be interesting on that note is the game that Obsidian's making, oh damn, I forgot the name of it, it's a one-word name.
Tyranny.
What?
Yeah,
Tyranny,
right. Is that it's similar in that, okay, the world's already been conquered, and now you're just patrolling everything. You know, Obsidian said it was going to be Judge Dredd as Dark Fantasy, and you're going to be playing essentially Judge Dredd.
I wonder what the end game goal is for this.
So, I mean,
like, are you looking to rise in power and maybe take over or take him out? Or, I don't know.
Here's the thing is that your main mission is to subjugate all the lands and make sure that they're behaving.
Right.
But the way you do that, I mean, you could be sort of like a rules lawyer because, you know, the thing about the Dark Lord is that he's very permissive. You can do anything you want. Just follow his very, very strict evil rules. Otherwise, you're fine and dandy, you know? So you could... the entire point is how you handle it. Either people respect you or you just drive fear in them. Or you do whatever. I mean, you remember Overlord, the first Overlord?
Yes.
You had a choice. You could either be sadistic and cruel, or you could just charm them into going into your way, you know? You're still evil, but you're not gonna eat puppies. You know?
Yeah. And, I mean, from what I can see, the big difference between Tyranny and Dark Souls is that Tyranny will actually tell a new story.
It'll tell a story. How wouldn't it be?
Like, the story in Dark Souls 3 is...
The story in Dark Souls 3 is kill people. That's the story. Go with it.
The story in Dark Souls is that the story has already happened. Go pick up the trash.
So you were saying, Scott...
Just that Tyranny, it's like I want to know is... You know what is the end goal? Like in Baldur's Gate, you're a spawn of Baal and you're trying to claim the throne. You know, And you could be evil on that. And,
you know,
and,
that makes me wonder, because maybe the goal of Tyranny is to kill the evil overlord who's taken over.
Yeah.
And how you do it, either you become a new evil overlord, you know.
Or
it's consider this under new management, you know, or you just become a hero. I don't think you ever become a hero, though. I don't think you ever become, you know, like Superman, you know, the cape, the paragon.
I think Obsidian has been working to get away from stuff like that. I know Bethesda did with Skyrim, and I think they did pretty well with Pillars. You get factions that like you, but you don't. I don't think ever feel like some sort of shiny knight in, you know, perfect armor or something like that. You know, you're just somebody trying to figure out yourself and what's going on, and trying to just better things around you, or at least. I mean, it's all up to you how you want your character to be in Pillars.
Maybe
I think in Tyranny it might be something like that.
Maybe it'll be like, I forgot the name of that arcane game. Oh, Dishonored.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, we don't know. I mean, the thing about Obsidian, and you can say this about all their games, that's the reason why they're always so buggy, is that's going to be very intricate with the choices you make, because in every Obsidian game, from Alpha Protocol to Fallout New Vegas to whatever, they love to have all of your choices matter and have the game reflect that.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is that that's a good way to break your game, you know, and that's why they're always so buggy and why they have to keep working on it, because they're very, very delicate. When you do something like that, it's very delicate, you know. Look at Peter Molyneux. What Obsidian just keeps going straight forward. Peter Molyneux just cuts the stuff that's too difficult, you know. So it's never what he said it was going to be.
Keeping continuity in those games must be a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, look what BioWare is doing with Mass Effect. They're just going to say, "Hey, go do it in the Andromeda Galaxy." I know what's going on there, and I didn't even need to hear those hints. I'm willing to bet you that the people who are in Andromeda are people who are escaping the Reapers as a contingency plan, since the Reapers, you know, take over the entire galaxy, right? So the only option is to have one of the solutions is to have people leave and run away from the galaxy, and you have a sleeper ship, you know, that eventually, millions and millions and millions of years later, makes it to Andromeda, and now they're colonizing Andromeda, and these are the stories of those people who escaped, because you had that farewell from Commander Shepard in that trailer. So I'm pretty sure that's what's happening. That's why you have humans and Krogans and you know, all the regular races, because they were aboard a colony ship, a gigantic colony ship, and they just went to the next galaxy, and, you know, as a way to get away from the Reapers. That's all I can think of. So all the endings fit there, even if you do the Refuse ending and the Reapers take over the galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy. So, yeah. As for me, I've started DC Universe Online. And, because it's now on Xbox One, the wait times for free people is insane. I mean, when I started up at, like, 3:30, it was like a 40-minute wait. I started at 4 o'clock. It was like a 40-minute wait. When I started, what's it called? It increased to 70 minutes a wait. Fortunately, I just hopped in, and that's when I lost all internet. Because Time Warner went down. Yeah, at least I got to level 3, but I didn't leave the main area yet. So, you know, I mean, it's also very tricky to get names for that, because all the names have been taken. So, my first character is Red Starlight, which is, I was shocked that was available. And his mentor is Superman. And then I got kicked off because of the thing. And then I did a second character, which I haven't played yet. And I made him a sorcerer with Batman as his tutelage. And I made him all black and shiny with a cape and a thing. And I called him Black. B-L-A-C-Q-U-E. And I was surprised that was not taken. So I win for clever spelling. So I'm going to try both ways to see what happens. I mean, Superman comes to your aid in the first mission. I'm pretty sure Batman will do the same here. So they gave me random powers because I I did not know they were going to randomly give me stuff. I hope there's a way I'm pretty sure you can respec it. Because I'm not a fan of ice powers on a Superman type character.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the cooler powers, of course, were part of expansions, which you have to pay for. So maybe one of the free powers is lightning, so maybe I'll make a lightning character with him. So we'll see. But yeah, they both look pretty cool. Maybe later I'll see what it's like. You know, get deeper into it.
Yeah. So,
other than that, I really haven't been playing anything. I know there's a lot of games coming out, but I have to be careful with my money right now, so I can't really afford anything. So there's that. So, we are going to move on to the first news item. Nintendo NX cartridge rumors abound, and this comes from Express UK. Rumors have abounded that Nintendo NX will use old-fashioned ROM cartridges instead of digital or disk software. However, many think it's a baseless rumor, and if it isn't, it's a serious mistake. Gaming analyst Michael Pachter has raised poor third-party support as a potential problem. Speaking on the Pachter Factor episode on Sifted? I don't know. These people misspelled everything. Their failure in hardware has cost them third-party support because third-party software... What are you doing? I can hear all that crap. Their failure in hardware has cost them third-party support because third parties can't afford to make a game for 10 million install-based Wii U that could be discontinued at any time. With the NX, I think you're going to see a very low third-party support outside of Japan unless the thing is a hit, he closed. And so, I mean, my criticism is that they've squandered a big lead that they had in hardware and gone from first to worst quickly on the console side. Now, the reason why Nintendo going with a cartridge is absolutely stupid for several reasons. One, people remember back in the 80s and 90s when cartridges for the NES could cost $80. Just for people to understand...
I don't remember those prices whatsoever. It was never that
expensive. There were some cartridges which were $80. That's $150 now.
I got them for $30 or $40. That was at Toys R Us.
It was depending upon the game. Like games like Dragon Warrior 2, that was definitely one that has always been a very, very expensive cartridge to get your hands on ever since it was released. For some reason, Barbie was a very expensive game back in the day. I have no idea why.
Well, not all gamers are boys.
I know, but...
Not all girls want to play Barbie either, but anyway.
Well, no, the thing is that, though, you know, there are going to be parents who see Barbie on the NES cartridge and they're going to get it for their little girl.
Yeah.
And it's probably the only cartridge they're going to ever get that entire year, you know.
Well, my wife played Dragon Warrior, so... Anyways, but like I remember getting Dragon Warrior and Dragon Warrior 2, and they were like $30 or $40. They were not $80.
There were some $70 to $80 games and $60 games, you know, and those are, and that's in the in 1990 money. That's half a console today. The other thing is that there's no way third party makers are going to make cartridges for a Nintendo product. None, not unless they're from Japan. None. Because they're not going to spend it when you don't even need. They'd rather do digital. No, not even a disc, not even a carbon pressed disc that costs a few pennies. You know. So I find it hard to believe that Nintendo would ever go with the cartridge route. You know.
They still have cartridges for their DS.
Yeah, but that's a DS. That's long. Are you talking about the 3DS?
Yeah, both DS, 3DS, whatever. Yeah.
The thing is
that's not really a cartridge though. That's a SD card.
Yeah, it's a wafer.
Well, that's what I thought would be a good thing for them to use was an SD card or you know.
There's a big difference though. What you're talking about with cartridges in terms of a console are ROM cartridges in which you add a ROM, and that you can't do that with an SD card.
Okay.
Yeah. The other problem is that it just seems like you know going backwards. And people seem to forget the problems that cartridges had. They say, we have dirty discs. Oh, yeah? Well, what happened when your cartridge got dirty? Oh, boy, you got to clean that thing, and you got to blow it, and you got to do all this stuff, and that cartridge dies because for whatever reason, you know? I mean, it was actually kind of easy to destroy a cartridge.
Yeah.
Drop it on the floor once, and, you know, one solder pops out. That's it.
Turns out you're not supposed to blow on them because...
I know, yeah, you're not. That's my point.
Yeah.
But that's what people did. See, that's my point.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just seems like, oh, forget about DVDs. Let's go to VHS. You know, it's like Sony bragging, we're bringing VHS back, baby. We're bringing back SVHS. You remember SVHS? Super VHS?
No. We're bringing back Betamax. This time it'll work.
Forget that. We're bringing back 8-track tapes. Who needs a CD? Who needs a CD?
But, no,
I mean, you go way back, and, you know, at least, you know, here's the thing about LPs. I do prefer LPs to CDs because LPs, the physical act of having a needle on the grooves creates a fuller sound. Well, yeah, technically it's bleeding, but it sounds good.
I don't mind the crackle when it's like a story being read as opposed to the music, because it's kind of distracting when it's music, but it's like an added effect when it's a story. Because I used to actually have a vinyl record.
Those story LPs?
Story.
I had the Superman story LP. It was two-sided. One was an adventure with Mr. Mixaplick, in which he made everybody lose their vowels. And I forgot what the other side was. I'm going to have to see if it's... I'm willing to bet you somewhere on YouTube someone actually burned that, yeah. You know, uploaded that. So I'm going to have to look for that. Because I remember the last line was Blinny instead of Baloney. So, yeah. Anyways, I find it hard to believe that Nintendo would do this. Not too hard, because Nintendo's done some really weird crap.
Yeah, I was just hoping that this was about using SD memory or, you know, something more advanced than the old cart.
I mean, I thought the Wii U had an SD slot, or was I mistaken?
There is an SD slot, yeah, but I meant that I think it was TurboGrafx used to use flash memory, solid state memory.
Those TurboGrafx cartridges were weird.
Yeah.
It felt like you were putting in a, literally a wafer.
Well, yeah, why not make it small? I mean, it doesn't have to be big and clunky. Why make it big and clunky?
The thing is that you're not going to get third-party manufacturers to spend money even on SD cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think most they would rather go digital.
Maybe that's a feature and not a bug for Nintendo, because they really aren't big fans of third-party anyway.
Yeah, they don't seem to be. They lost Square Enix as a, you know, third party. Who knows? Who else will lose?
The problem is that back in the day, in the 80s and the early 90s, the NES ruled, and there was nothing else. And everybody had to go to the NES or fail. You had to get that stupid Nintendo seal of quality.
Yeah.
Because they were it. That was it. If you weren't on a C64, you were on an NES. I miss my ColecoVision, actually. I love my little ColecoVision.
Yeah, my wife had a ColecoVision.
It was great. It was great. And the thing about ColecoVision was that they brought all the little-known arcade games that I loved and enjoyed, like Cosmic Avenger and Venture and Ladybug, and what else did they bring that was a little-known? They knew how to pick out the arcade games that were unknown and bring them to the fore. Because Cosmic Avenger, who heard of Cosmic Avenger until it was on the ColecoVision? Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Scott, I think you should take this one.
All right. Fallout 4 Xbox One mods enter beta after May 19th. This is from Game Informer. Now that PC Fallout 4 players have access to mods and the Big Far Harbor DLC has a launch date, Bethesda wants console players to know that a promise will soon be fulfilled. No specific dates have been announced, but players shouldn't have to wait too long for the mods. According to a note on Twitter, Bethesda says it is shifting gears to focus on Xbox One mods. Console support will kick off on Microsoft's console after Far Harbor's launch on May 19th. Given previous promises of Xbox One mod beta launch in May, that narrows down to a comfortable 11-day period, assuming things are still on track. PS4 mods should arrive in June. Additionally, as Bethesda mentions, Fallout 4 PC mod support is off to a fast start after launching on April 28th. You can check out the PC mod interface and more information on Far Harbor to get caught up.
And if you still aren't sure
forget that. That's advertising from Game Informer. That should have been sliced off. So here's a question for you. Have you been checking out the official mods on PC?
Yeah, I've checked a lot of them out. There's
did you take the Randy Macho Man Savage one? Turns all dark.
I saw it, but I didn't take that one. I was looking at ones that you can get trees that grow foliage. You can get all sorts of nice little mods, but some of the mods I want
are just the ones that automatically give you resources, so you don't have to worry about friggin' resources when you're building stuff in your workshop. Take that all away. I just want to build. I don't want to even build that much. Just build the guns I want to build.
My favorite one so far is the mod for the mini nuke launcher that turns the mini nuke bullets into your baby.
What?
Yep, full with complete with sound effect of baby crying when you launch it.
That's better than the Chihuahua gun.
I like pack ratting. I don't mind collecting all the stuff and bringing it back to my base to build things. So,
or how about this? How about unlimited, being able to carry an unlimited amount of weight? How about that? Just that little mod.
You can carry a lot of weight if you get the strong back. And you can,
without having to be in the armor.
Yeah. There was another mod that was super interesting. I look at these things all the time. I've been through probably about hundreds of them. There was one that was for a file that was originally in the game. There was supposed to be a harpoon gun that was
that.
And somebody found that file and remodded it and brought it into the game, and it's very interesting.
Yeah. I wonder if it'll be official with Far Harbor.
That might be.
Yeah, but that was the entire point. I think that's what clued people in. Aside from the fact that the bay is huge and detailed, but there's nothing there, the harpoon file sort of clued people in that something was going on that had to deal with the water. That's what clued them in the first place. So, Far Harbor, did you see the trailer?
Yes, I did. It looks good.
So, for the people who haven't seen it, tell us what happens in it.
Well, in it, you are... Nick is gets a mission, or gets like a lady. It sounded like a lady was looking for her child, her daughter. So basically, it's like deja vu. We're looking for another kid.
But this is this gonna be like a remake of The Pit?
So, anyways, but that is what Nick usually does, is go looking for missing persons. So that makes sense. And now you're told where this island is that this person's child is on. So you go there, and it's there's a lot of contention going on. They don't like strangers. The people there, the villagers, they don't like you being there, it sounds like. And
wait a minute. This is not going to be a remake of The Wicker Man, is it? This sounds exactly like The Wicker Man.
I don't think it sounds anything like The Wicker Man.
Do you know the story of The Wicker Man?
Yes, I've seen it, and this doesn't.
You gotta find the girl. I'm not talking about the Nicolas Cage movie. Thank you. And you go to Summer's Isle, and everybody there is kooky, and they really don't like you that much, and blah, blah, blah,
that's
blah, blah.
Not what I meant. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that then. Okay. You got the children of the Atom saying, oh, you can see they're doing their whole religious thing.
Yeah.
And then the people are basically saying, this is our problem. We're going to deal with it. We don't want you. You're an outsider. And then there's synths there, too. And I didn't know. I don't think I saw them in the trailer, but there's three factions. There's the townspeople, synths, and then the children of the Atom. And then you basically have to help resolve their conflict. And then, of course, there's other quests and whatnot.
I never really spent much time with the children of the Atom. Is there anything that happens there aside from you? When you go there to find the scientist, in the middle.
Not as far as I know. I should probably go back and check, because it does seem strange to have this little village of Atom people, and you just kind of walk on through, and then you say bye. And
at least they kill the rad scorpions for you. That's good.
I guess I could revisit, because, the Rad-X and Rad-Away, really, I have a lot of that stocked up, so I can go back and check and see if any of them have a quest, because I've done, I'm down to just Radiant quests now. This also seems like reading back up there, this is the same thing they did with Skyrim, where PlayStation gets everything dead last.
Well, the thing is that Microsoft made it their big thing at last year's E3. Mm-hmm. They're going to have mods on the Xbox One for Fallout 4. But the problem is that, you know, now it's finally happening. I wonder how many people really care at this point on the Xbox One.
I don't know.
You know? I mean, I care because I just want to cheat. I'm just going to find the things that allow me to cheat because I want the story my way. You know, I don't... I finished the story, now I just want to... I want to explore unimpeded. You know? I don't know if I'm going to get the expansions until maybe... inevitably when they're like $2 for the expansions, something
You just wait for everything to be stupid.
Yeah, like next year when Fallout Fallout Washington DC is coming out or something like that, you know, or New Washington or whatever, you know, the Fallout New Vegas equivalent, you know, or maybe
We already did Washington, so I don't think we're going to go back to Washington.
New York or Delaware or
I was trying to remember
Williamsburg,
like,
Chicago. That would be funny, actually. That would actually be appropriate for Williamsburg, because then you could have what's-his-face, the mayor, you know, the ghoul mayor who dresses up as Thomas Jefferson, that he goes with
I
you
think
to Williamsburg.
Now that we've done Boston, I think we're going to go to somewhere else farther away, because it's like you're just like repeating what we've already pretty much done with Fallout 4.
Well, you know what they could do is that they can do a Cthulhu story, H.P. Lovecraft story, since it is set in Boston, and you could go to Arkham. You know, it's Arkham.
I think that is actually what's going on with Far Harbor. It's going to be more Cthulhu-like.
Oh, baby. And let's summon... Well, Cthulhu could be just a big, gigantic, mutated monster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? Yes, exactly.
Or maybe it's a horribly, what's it called, mutated super mutant. You know, or what do they call them again? The gigantic ones? Abominations?
Geckos?
What?
Geckos. I think the people
were No. You know, the gigantic... they're not called super mutants, are they? No.
Wait, are you talking about the Cerberus?
What?
The death claws?
No. You know, the mutants who are 40 feet high. I forgot the names
of them.
Supermutants. Supermutant behemoth.
Behemoths, right. Maybe it's just a horribly mutated behemoth. You know?
Well, they're pretty horribly mutated, yeah, so...
Even more so. He has tentacles coming out of his face or something.
Yeah.
From being underwater. See, he was underwater when it happened, and he merged with a squid.
Well, that's what Swan is. He's merged with the Swan boat thingy, and so he calls himself Swan.
I still want to get the Randy Savage Deathclaw mod, just so you can... Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah, brother.
And then he says something about Hulk Hogan. And then when he kills somebody, he says, oh, yeah, I'm going to get you like Hulk Hogan.
But I was trying to remember the Children of the Atom, because I don't think I'd heard
the
of that.
The Children of the Atom are the guys who are in the middle of the irradiated land that's near the water.
And they worship nukes and nuclear radiation.
And I was thinking of the Children of the Cathedral from the first game, which is a spin-off of the Followers of the Apocalypse that follow the original, like, antagonist of the game, the Master.
Well, keep in mind, all of those are just references to Beneath the which Planet of the Apes was it? Beyond the Planet of the Apes or Beneath? Beneath the Planet of the Apes, when they had that cult worshipping the nuclear missile.
Yeah. And
then they blow it up the Earth.
Uh-huh.
With one missile.
Is there any link between the Children of the Atom and the Children of the Cathedral?
I don't.
The Children of the Cathedral originally worshipped the guy who created the super mutants, the Master.
Oh, I don't remember that far back in Fallout.
It would be a smart nod to the originals.
It's true. It's true. So, anyways, we're going to move on to the next one. Go ahead, TJ.
Alrighty. Zelda anchors Nintendo E3 plans from Games Industry Biz. When Nintendo said last month it would be using E3 to focus on The Legend of Zelda for Wii U, it was not kidding. The company has launched its E3 website, and it appears to be foregoing its usual Tuesday morning of E3 week Nintendo digital event. Instead, scheduling a Nintendo Treehouse show focusing on the upcoming Zelda title. Tune in at 9 a.m. Pacific time for the world's first in-depth look at the new Legend of Zelda game, the company said on its official E3 site. The day's events will kick off with live-streamed gameplay and behind-the-scenes info from the game experts of Nintendo Treehouse, live and unscripted from the show floor. Starting in 2013, Nintendo's digital event broadcast was the focal point of its E3 presence, announcing and showcasing its biggest products set for release in the coming years. It was essentially a replacement for Nintendo's live E3 press briefing, a practice it stopped after the 2012 show because it felt the press conference was designed for too many audiences with conflicting interests.
Yeah, right.
The move is not entirely unexpected, with Nintendo already having said it won't have the NX platform at E3 and no Wii U software beyond Zelda expected at the show. A digital event might have needed to lean excessively on the 3DS and mobile lineup to carry interest.
You know, when they say too many audiences with conflicting interests, what are they saying? Oh, they like too many types of things. What? 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 They don't... They have varying interests? My God, they should be shot as gamers.
Cough, cough, there's better things at E3 than Nintendo cough.
Yeah. But here's the thing, is that I'm going to be on the show floor at E3. As you know, Nintendo last year was terrible, and now it sounds like this year it's going to be even more terrible. I mean, they're leaning on one game for their console. One game. That's it. It sounds like it's going to be one game and a bunch of 3DS games, and I'm willing to bet you those will have already been released by the time it's there. Or maybe they're last year's game. Look, we have Super Mario Brothers, except this time it's in a gold cart. I don't know. Scott?
Yeah, it's going to be the Mario Maker of 2016.
Yeah, but there were other games there besides Mario Maker. I mean, at least they were next to Disney, and they were talking about Disney Infinity 3.0.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo really needs to find a way to get third-party game makers back to them, because this is just ridiculous.
I wonder what the licensing is for the Wii U. You know, how much Nintendo charges for that?
Probably too much, because I think otherwise... Yeah. It probably would have been on other platforms by now. I mean, I guess they're starting to put stuff on the phones with like that Wii or that Toon Make. So I don't know. They should really. It would be a moneymaker just to put old Mario games or old Zelda games on the phones and or other platforms.
The Wii may have been the worst thing that ever happened to Nintendo. I mean, yeah, they sold a billion of them from 2006 to 2008, but they took all the wrong messages from it. You know, they started going with grandma, and this is fun for the entire family, and they completely forgot the core fans who actually made them popular. You know, and they were too busy doing carnival rides and not serious stuff. And I think they pushed people away from doing dark and brooding things, right? I mean... What was the darkest and most brooding thing that was on the original Wii?
Mad World.
The zombie game.
That was a launch title, though.
There was a...
Zombie U, but was that a launch game or not?
I don't remember if it was a launch game, but I remember my wife wanted to get it and try and play it.
I mean, it was very rare that you had something like, say, a Zombie U, you know?
There was also... I forgot what it was called exactly. It was a sword fighting gun game.
Yeah, that was a launch title. You're thinking of Red. Damn it, I forgot the name of it. Yeah, that was a launch title by Ubisoft that bombed badly. Red sword, no, Red.
Yeah, I didn't. I wanted it to be purely sword fighting. I didn't want to do gun scenes. You know, I
there's
just
also
wanted to sword
fight. There's also No More Heroes.
Yeah, and that again was a launch title.
Was it?
I think so. I mean, yeah. What was the game? What was the game that was black and white and red splatter stuff?
You know? Mad World. That was the one I was playing
about. That's about as dark as it. And you know, I can't say that the sword and gun game was all that dark. You know,
well, it was certainly violent and not for the whole entire family.
But like I said, you know, it became apparent that all Nintendo was releasing was maybe a game with one of their main characters, like Mario. And then shovelware.
They're not
they're not starting up new IPs, really. I mean, okay, you know.
They have to, you know what? It's a good thing. Now, here's the thing. It's a good thing they're pushing it, right? They're pushing it 1 year. They could have started releasing it this year, but say now we're going to do 2017. What they really have to do is have a huge compilation of all their major characters. Do a Zelda game, do a Mario game, do a Pikmin game, do a, you know, other, so that they can actually gain interest from people, you know? They should have held off Star Fox until next year and made a NX version of that.
Hmm.
And made it good, because I hear that the Star Fox that was released for the Wii U sucks. What I hear.
Yeah.
I haven't played
Star
it.
Fox Zero? Yeah. It's like a... They basically redid a whole bunch of stuff from the regular, from the first game, and that stuff is okay, but then they added a whole bunch of stuff that sucks. And is completely non-intuitive.
Yeah. I like I said, I don't know Nintendo's strategy, especially if they have a cartridge. I mean, and they're not, the cartridges that are rumored to be are not SD cards, they're actual carts, so. Mm-hmm. Which makes me think it's bullshit. But we'll see. I mean, Nintendo's done strange things. I mean, they were really on that idea of having the pulse monitor for years and years and years. It never came out, but it was just scary that they actually were considering that.
Hmm.
I mean, the tablet was a good idea, you know, and probably going to be repeated for the NX. You know, make games that are more suited to the tablet, you know, and have a camera on the tablet so that you can do augmented VR. So anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Battlefield 1 and Call of Duty Infinite Warfare trailers debut this past week. On Friday, Electronic Arts confirmed that the next title in its Battlefield series of military shooters will be set during the First World War. While the rival Call of Duty titles have been marching ever further into the future, Battlefield 1 is an attempt to re-engage the fans of the genre who fell for titles like Battlefield 1942, Medal of Honor, and the original Call of Duty games with their depiction of historically authentic scenarios. Apart from the bombastic trailer, EA DICE is giving very little away about how the game will depict this war in all its complexity and brutality. It's too early to speculate on how some of the most destructive battles in military history will be explored. Meanwhile, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare is receiving mass dislikes on its debut trailer. However, Electronic Arts is including a special Modern Warfare remastered multiplayer mode to Infinite Warfare's $80 special edition. The multiplayer mode features 10 maps and gameplay from the original Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. So, I'm going to go first with you, DJ.
Have there been any mainstream first-person shooters that have explored the First World War?
Well, I know there's this big Kickstarter game that became very popular and gained a lot of hits on Game Watcher for their World War One game. But the problem with that game, though, that it was called the problem with that game, it just seemed very what's the word I'm looking for? See, it was being very realistic, and that might not fly. I mean, well, it's a Kickstarter game, so people are expecting it, so they'll probably like it. In which you have to get into order, people have to get into, battle readiness. So, yeah, I forgot the name of it. It's gone now.
It's not a Civil War game, or no, there was a Civil War game.
That's right. Yeah, there was a Civil War game.
Yeah, because I covered the interview for that.
Right, and I actually broke the news of that game.
And it's based on the idea that people actually form ranks and all that stuff. Yeah. But that was 1812. I'm talking like, has there ever been like a mainstream AAA title that's ever gone into the First World War?
And the thing about World War One is that it's really a lot of chemical warfare, and
it, not only is it pre-Geneva Convention, but it's just modern enough to have like actual.
It'd be really
like,
fun to redo the Battle of Gallipoli. Have your guys run straight into machine gun fire. Game over.
Yeah, no man's land. That'll be ridiculous if they can translate that properly into a game.
Well, I mean, remember Call of Duty 2? In which you were with the Russians, and you were in this line, and they didn't give you a gun. They were handing out guns, and you didn't get a gun.
You got bullets.
And you had to run, trying to avoid enemy fire while everybody is just screaming and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah. The retaking the Red Square is one of the highest points of first-person shooter gaming, if you ask me. But And, like, yeah, I think you're right. With that in mind, there is no reason why they can't do it with the World War One. That if they do it properly, it'll be freaking amazing.
At least you won't have to take 20 seconds to load your gun.
Yeah.
and you probably will have swords?
Swords, horses, all sorts of things. Shovels, cavalry. Apparently. Shovels are going to be a weapon.
You'll have Colonel Sherman Potter as a 15-year-old out there.
Shovels are going to be a thing in there that they've been talking about, and well, you know, because of, I'm hoping that it's not just going to be a melee weapon. I'm hoping it's going to be a matter of
mustard gas at your enemies.
I'm hoping it's going to be a matter of trench warfare where you actually have to like dig in and make foxholes.
That'll be, you know, and that's one thing we really. It was like 4 years ago or 5 years ago when deformable terrain and destructible terrain was a big thing, and now it isn't anymore. What was the name for Battlefield 4? They were bragging about Levolution, in which you could destroy things or something like that. You know, and we haven't really talked about that. Now that the technology is getting there, maybe it should be easier to do deformable terrain, and you could dig your trenches.
Yeah, because it would make sense in a game where you have to get down quicker, you'll be torn apart by bullets.
Yeah, and I really don't. Here's the thing: I like the idea of Call of Duty going into space. Why not? It's something that hasn't really been done. I mean, yeah, you have Halo and all that stuff, but I mean a military shooter in space, and that's not science fiction, you know, but actually just speculative science fiction of where the military may realistically go by that far into the future. You know, questioning if we get spaceships and all that stuff, what is being an armed forces person really going to be like?
The most petty thing I've heard about it is most, like, at least a good 30% of people I hear complaining about what they saw in that are complaining about the fact that they covered a David Bowie song for it. And it's like, really? That's your big thing about this whole thing you're looking at?
You know, people are going to pay money to play the Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, what's it called, multiplayer, because if ask any Call of Duty player about COD4's multiplayer, and they'll get glassy-eyed with remembrance, and you know, they're like, oh yeah, I remember that. That was so cool. And it'll be remastered and pretty.
Yeah.
And at some point, they'll probably release it as a separate thing, but I'm willing to bet you not anytime soon.
Like, heck, I'll buy it. I never played it, so it'll be a good chance for me to actually see what people were talking about back in whatever.
Scott, I know this isn't your thing, but any.
So, what song is it that they're complaining about exactly that they used?
Major Tom.
Oh, what's wrong with that? Yeah, I guess people...
Maybe they wanted Elton John's Rocket Man.
I guess it's good that they're doing World War One because there's so many World War Two first-person shooter games, so it's about time they try to, you know, go back to a different era, at least. It's not really my thing, but again, I do appreciate them...
You know what I find really silly, though? Is that, remember when everybody's complaining everything was World War II, World War II, World War II, World War II. Everything is World War II. We're sick of World War II. And now people say, we want World War II.
Yeah. Back. It's when you take it away from people, they don't realize what they lost.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only been one there's been very, very, very few set in the Vietnam War. And I think that would be an interesting time to do it because that's about as technological a war as the Civil War was.
The Call of Duty. Wait, are you talking about the 1960s? Okay, yeah, Call of Duty Black Ops.
Yeah, I know, but that's just it. There, you know, or how about the Korean War?
And I'll say this: Call of Duty Black Ops was my favorite Call of Duty game. That one was. A lot of people give that story crap for what it is. I think it was really, really, really interesting to going through that whole campaign. You freaking try to assassinate Castro in the first mission.
So, anyway, look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history article. If you share any feedback, so leave us comments on our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast, the forums at GamingPodcast.net/forum, or send your comments to fans@GamingPodcast.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments. I am at Jonah Falcon, and he is at Johnny Chugs, and the other one is at Alpha Shard. You can guess which ones each one is. I'm the one who uses his name for his Twitter, so I'm easy to identify.
Yeah.
Anyways, the question of the week, and I really don't have one, but what is what era would you love to see a first-person shooter take place in? And I already have an answer. I'm going to say it right now. How about Napoleon era? You know, like the Battle of Waterloo. That would be interesting because you have guns, but once you run out of bullets, you got to bring out that sword and just ride on your cavalry attack.
That would be a good one.
Yeah. How about you, TJ?
Like I said, I'm really interested. I think I really do want to see the World War One thing because it's just technological enough, just before the Geneva Convention when there were no rules.
And you have machine guns, and you know that those mounted things, you're going to have people cranking the machine gun. Cring.
Serrated bayonets, man.
Yeah, how about you, Scott?
I don't know. That would be a hard one to pick, I guess. Because I don't really think about it.
Oh, okay. You know, they also have Mountain Blade, you know, and they've been doing variations on that, which... And they have the Chivalry one, which is actually a first-person shooter in medieval ages. You can go way back, but I think people are more fun because guns are easier to do than melee weapons.
I guess Pirate Age would be fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is the Blood Raven games, which the people best not talked about. Or was it Blood Raven? No, Raven of the... Oh, I forgot the name of... What was the name of that crappy pirate game that they tried to remake and was going to redo and still didn't work out? Do you remember? Something Raven. Raven's Tears, Raven's Rose, something like that.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah. Anyway, so that maybe that means it's best not thought of.
Yeah.
Anyways, this has been the TD Gaming Podcast, episode 424, and we will see you next week. Hopefully with some more interesting news.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Take care.